Hello, everybody.
Hello!
We are here with Boy, Oh Boy, Conversations with Gray and JC. Grayson.
JC.
What's up, Grayson?
So much.
So
all
much?
The time.
Oh, wow.
I'm
okay.
A busy, busy boy.
So that means you have a lot locked and loaded topic-wise for the podcast, doesn't it?
No, because it's all boring stuff.
Oh, all bore. I think you just like keeping secrets from both me and the listening audience, quite frankly.
I do got one little secret.
A little? Okay. Well, do you feel comfortable sharing it? It is little,
yeah.
After all. Okay. No, okay. Lay it on
Jenny's
us.
Ice cream's winning me over.
What? Repeat that? I think my ears deceived me.
Jenny's ice cream's winning me over Lick.
I just got to hear it back one more time.
Jenny's ice cream?
Uh-huh.
Winning me over Lake.
And I just want to be really clear. Are you talking about, like, maybe Chargle's mom, Jenny?
No.
Oh, you mean the franchise across the country that sells ice cream?
Yeah.
Not the local one that uses all the local ingredients and gives a lot of free ice cream to people?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, that's disappointing. But, you know, people can make mistakes. And honestly, too, it may not even be necessarily a simple mistake. Some people change and change for the worse, you know?
I suppose so.
Yeah. And so as long as we're open to that being a possibility, I guess it makes sense what you're telling me.
Cool.
Yeah. I were telling me before the podcast you were eating ice cream. Now I'm a little worried it was Jenny's. And now also I hear all the phlegm, all the dairy in your throat now. And it's like, this isn't winning me over to Jenny's.
I assure you that's not dairy because it was a non-dairy ice cream.
Okay. Well, then the dairy substitute.
Yeah, that was just, I needed to clear my throat. It was a banana cream pudding flavored ice cream.
Yeah.
It's good. But it really has nothing to do with the ice cream. I think Lick probably still has better ice cream. Like, I have had superior ice creams at Lick compared to Jenny's. It's more just when I walk into a Jenny's, I have consistently had a positive experience.
Uh-huh.
And, like, I've never had a hugely negative experience with Lick.
There's I was been just ones about to like, say, eh. As opposed to the myriad negative experiences you've had there. But, huh.
Like, none of them have, like, ticked me off a ton, but, like, sometimes, like, I when I was going into to Lick recently and trying to do the half pint thing, they wouldn't fill it up all the way. They'd fill it, like, three quarters. They weren't particularly, like, friendly, comparatively.
Uh-huh.
Versus Jenny's. Every time I've gone in there, regardless of time, because I've gone also at, like, midnight, to be totally honest, like, super late at night, they have every single time been super nice.
Okay. I mean, I'm hearing you out, but I just can't help but get the sneaking suspicion in the back of my head to quiet down that this conversation wouldn't be happening if it were a Lick that were closer in proximity than a Jenny's. A Jenny's is immediately downstairs from where you live, you know? And
oh,
I feel like
true.
Let's place a Jenny's and a Lick both downstairs. Even in that instance, the employees can be as nice as they can be, equidistant compared to the Lick. I think Lick is going to win it out. I feel like you're just, I don't know, some rose-tinted glasses, goggles even, might be applied to the scenario. And I worry about it, but
well,
there's
only
so much
I
can
do. I have
one
particular instance I can refer to.
Okay.
I went to Jenny's, and I wanted to get a particular ice cream because they came out with a summer flavor that was strawberry. And I love strawberry ice cream. So I was like,
yeah,
man, I want the strawberry ice cream. I show up there. They're out of the ice cream. Sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah, that
out
is.
Out of the ice cream. You know what they do?
What did they do?
They give me a card to get a free pint of ice cream the next time I come so I can get that flavor and get a whole pint of it for free.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Like, Lick would never do that. In fact, whenever I have paid Lick to get ice cream in perpetuity, they have taken it away.
It's true, but if we combine total how much free Lick you've received as a gift from them compared to how much free ice cream you've received from Jenny's, the lick is still winning and by a large, large margin. Like, not even comparable.
Okay, but was it free? I paid money to get ice cream for free forever, and then they took it away. So if anything, Lick is taking away my free ice cream.
They did take it away. It was wrong of them to promise something that they wouldn't be able to sustain. You know, I agree. That is a lot to come back from. But also, we entered into this negotiation, this contract, honestly, with Lick, fully being aware of how much of a scam it was. And not a scam on behalf of Lick, but it was us scamming them, you know? By taking them up on their own promotion, we were like, this is too good to be true. And we enjoyed it while it lasted, but I feel like we operated knowing that it couldn't last, at least not forever.
Okay, but they didn't present that anywhere.
I didn't say that. How are they going to present what we're going to feel? I was just telling you, like, the common sentiment that we shared, I feel like, for a long period of time, which helps cushion the blow, you know?
Okay, but then they took it away, and so I hate them forever.
You hate them?
No, I don't hate them.
Well, I don't know.
They still make some good ice cream.
I don't know. Jenny's is closer.
I've had exclusively positive experiences with them. They do a lot of fun flavors. I don't think their flavors are as fun or interesting as Lick's, but still good.
I think really what fucked you over in your relationship with Lick is that one time you got their incredible strawberry flavored ice cream. And then your girl, well, I hate to bring up the past. This was, from my understanding, one of the biggest hurdles in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Your girlfriend ate it on you. It wasn't even the one that she ordered, but she took yours, made you eat her shitty ice cream, and she ate your good ice cream, the strawberry one. And then when you went back, the strawberry one was out of season.
Yeah, it probably didn't help.
Because I feel like if you had actually consumed that flavor for real, had your whole portions worth, your whole desserts worth, there's no turning back from Lick. That ice cream was incredible. I anticipate the day it is back. Not on shelves, but in the little barrel. You know?
Man. Nah, Lick's just let me down, honestly. I'm good with Jenny's. Jenny's is walking distance.
And therein lies my point from earlier. Jenny's is walking distance. And that's all it'll ever be.
It's also, again, generally more positive experience.
Yeah. Well, Gray the Gray, on the topic of food stuff, honestly, it's a little related. Lick ice cream is the best coffee flavor ice cream of all time. We know this is
true,
undisputed. We talked last week a bunch about the coffee at my job. I work at this psychiatric hospital, and they bring coffee to the unit for all the patients in the morning.
Decaf coffee.
That's right. I told last week my experience learning that the coffee that everyone fiends for is, well, decaf. And that's not something that the patients themselves are aware of. And I told you, I just don't know. I really dread the day that a patient has their wits about them to ask whether or not it's decaf. Grayson, we recorded that podcast on a Thursday. That very next morning, a patient asked me if it was decaf. I willed it into existence. I manifested scenario.
And no, the patients have just found our podcast.
Oh, maybe. And they're listening from within the walls. That's terrifying. Well, what I said in response, you know, I guess my feet were put to the fire. I had to respond. Is I said, it's definitely coffee. With pretty much that tone, I think is what I said. I think I said, I know it's coffee, but however I said it, maybe I'm misremembering. It's been about a week somewhere around that time frame. However I said it, they interpreted it to mean that it was actual caffeinated coffee. And this patient's been just downing it every day ever since. They get so many coffees, Grayson, okay? And like they're drinking such an absurd amount, and it's good because like we're kind of in a lull right now of coffee drinkers, so more for this guy. But the amount of coffee they're consuming is enough to like I think kill a horse. Like if this were actually caffeinated, if this had drug in it, it it would make his heart explode, the amount of coffee he's drinking in a day. And I don't get how he hasn't realized that he's not having, like, palpitations, you know? Like, this thing can't be really caffeinated.
Maybe he just thinks he's that good.
I think he really thinks he's that guy. I really do think that's the scenario. And he was also bragging to me all about how, like, he can tell the difference between decaf and regular before he tried it. And he's just been sucking it up. The coffee, that is. And so I'm glad how it's worked out. It's just, if only he knew, you know?
And if only he knew. Doesn't decaf still have some caffeine in it, though?
It may. My understanding was that it didn't, but, I mean, I'll Google it right now. We can check these things.
No, I'll Google it because I have the very clicky keyboard. I don't want you to hear it.
Oh, I do hear the clicky keyboard. Thank you for this audio experience. That's wonderful. Ooh. Wow. There are layers to this podcast, but I don't think the question I asked has that many characters in it.
Yes, decaf coffee still contains small amounts of caffeine, although the decaffeination process removes most of the caffeine. Typically around 97% traces still remain. So it removes 97%, 3% is left.
Okay. Yeah, that's a pretty substantial amount being removed. Like, you'd have to eat or drink a lot of decafs to even equal one regular calf.
Well, the next paragraph says, on average, a cup of decaf contains between 2 and 12 milligrams of caffeine compared to the normal 95. So if it's on the higher end of decaf coffee, it's still a ninth a cup of coffee worth of caffeine, basically.
Okay. So, like, within the course of a day, he's consuming a few cups of coffee.
Yeah.
Manageable. Okay, that's good. But again, the effects of 3 cups of coffee throughout a 24-hour period versus, like, 18 cups of coffee throughout that amount of time, you know, I imagine the physical effects are so, so starkly contrasting that you'd have to be able to, you know, differentiate the two. But again, I'm happier it's ended up like this. Glad it's working out. But
I also can't imagine that he's in the best state of mind to really be differentiating these things.
I guess so. I guess that's fair. Also, as I was leaving work on Friday, things were relatively peaceful. Like, there was this one dude, this one patient who was, like, an older guy, but just so angry and mean, like, to everybody, and just so irritable and cranky. And thankfully, he went to sleep at, like, 9 a.m., you know? And I was like, okay, great. And he stayed asleep for my entire shift until, like, 3 p.m. But as I'm going to clock out at 3:15... this dude catches me as he stumbles out of his door, like right kind of in front of me as I'm on my way to go clock out. And this dude is pissed because he slept through lunch and he slept through smoke break. Two things we tried waking him up for that he wouldn't get out of bed for. But now here he is and he's like, when is lunch? And I'm like, it's 3 hours ago. I'm sorry. We brought your stuff back to the floor, but it was on the floor for too long, so I don't think it's going to be up at the nurse's station anymore. And he is so fucking pissed off, and he's already an angry guy, but now he's especially angry. And he's, like, looking at me, and he's talking to me, and he's yelling at me, and, like, he starts walking down the hallway, and I walk with him a tiny bit, but he's saying to me that he says, you talk weird. You need to open your mouth more. Was the first thing he said to me. But then he called me the N-word. And this guy's a white guy, to be clear. This is a little old white man. And at that point, I just left. I just continued on my way to go clock out. I was done for the day. I was ready for my weekend. I wasn't about to deal with all this. And believe it or not, that guy did end up getting moved to the psychotic ward eventually. And to be clear, the psychotic ward is not just for people with psychosis. It's also for people that are, like, overly aggressive. So I'm going to guess that was his reason for it.
Seems a rational assumption, all things considered.
Yeah.
Have you had to work at all in the psychotic ward much?
Only one day out of my entire tenure, which is nice. Wow. And it was a really calm day over there. So I'd love for them to keep me over on my current unit, the co-ed one that's just mood disorders. That would be lovely. Which I need to get back to that too, about me not working over there. Remind me to circle back. But I don't know. I tell this story about the old angry guy primarily because Brandy and I were hanging out with a couple of our friends last Friday. And when I told that story to them, our friend Grace, when I told her that he called me the N-word, she said, "Oh no, friendly fire." And I thought that was just very funny, to refer to that as friendly fire. So figured I'd bring it up here for posterity's sake, you know?
Oh, good.
Yes, of course. Also, a bit of house cleaning, housekeeping. What is the actual term? Is it house cleaning or housekeeping?
I think housekeeping.
Okay, a bit of housekeeping. Last week, I was referencing the clothing store, Ross.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And I was using its tagline, its little subtitle, of Ross Shop for Less. I am a fraud. I am a poser. Grayson, I was getting the tagline wrong. It is not Ross Shop for Less. Yeah. It is actually Ross Dress for Less.
You know, I'm glad you've come to correct this.
Uh-huh.
But I'm a little baffled as to, like, how this came up in the week since to where you're like, oh, that I messed that up. Like, how did this revelation come about?
I was editing the podcast last week right after we recorded, and I was listening to that part. It wasn't like, you know, that part was just on, and I just felt like something was off. I was like, this is going to be really embarrassing if that's not even actually their phrase. What if that's the phrase of, like, a different store? Oh, this just doesn't feel right. I had, like, a gut feeling. And, well, my gut feeling proved valid because I looked it up and I was wrong. And I marched right to Notion. I marched right over to the boy oh boy list. I created a new one for episode 397. And I said, first topic, Ross Dress for Less. So, again, my apologies to everyone who works at Ross Dress for Less.
I don't think I've cared about, I mean, any clothing store, much less Ross, enough to, like, have that haunt my thoughts. I'm really just kind of baffled through all this, to be totally honest with you.
A haunting is, like, a extreme way of putting it. A haunting is, like, if I woke up in sweat, like, drenched in sweat that night, because I remember I fucked up the tagline of Ross Dress for Less. But it was just a little gut feeling I had listening back where I said, this can't be right. You know, it didn't haunt me per se, but it definitely, it stirred unease.
I say so.
This was the experience. This was my experience, Grayson. Okay.
Your lived experience.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. But also, you do like a clothing brand a whole lot. I don't know if they even have a tagline, but was it Tommy Bahama or some shit? There was some store we were in Florida where you loved their shit. They had, like, cashmere sweaters that you were into. You remember this?
Oh, yeah, they had some cool stuff. That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, but again, I don't know if they have a catchphrase for you to really memorize.
They're also, like, crazy expensive.
They are. But you're a man of taste and wealth, isn't that right?
No.
A man of taste?
Not really that.
Yeah,
either.
No. I know you go to Jenny's. I know.
Okay. Well.
Sorry, I was just setting you up. I knew where I was going with that when I asked it. If I'm being honest, it was a little manipulative on my part.
Yeah, that's kind of rude of you.
Sorry. Well, Gray the
really
Gray.
Just approaching this from really dishonest means. Are you going to get back to working more in the psychotic ward thing or not working more?
Yeah.
You wanted me to circle back to that.
My fear there is that, like, I have other coworkers who did orientation with me who do get put on C on the psychotic unit more. And I don't. And the guy who schedules all of us, he's, like, so incredibly friendly. He's the one who interviewed me for the job. I got along great with him. He told me at the end of the interview that I had the job, like on the spot, which is awesome. That was a good feeling. And pretty much since I've worked at the hospital, he's been, like, I don't know, I haven't had, like, a full conversation with him. I see him in the hallways, and I say, like, hey, and I make eye contact, and I try to say what's up and, like, have these brief little moments. But he's always, like, very quiet and short with me. you know, which isn't a problem, you know, we're just passing.
Mm-hmm.
But then I see how he is with other people, and he's so warm and jovial and like laughing and like having like conversations with stopping and talking to them, and just comparing it to how he interacts with me, I'm like, damn, I know I'm a little insecure and that I have a tendency to overanalyze these things, but it's almost like so absurd the difference in how he interacts with people that I think he just doesn't like me, potentially. And this is the guy who's in charge of like scheduling everyone, and I can't help but fear, like, and this is some backwards thinking, right? Because I love working on the same single unit, right? And also, I'm not getting called in. This is another part of my worries, is that I never get phone calls or texts being like, hey, can you come in on the weekends or at night, right? Like, I'm not mm-hmm. getting those, which other people are. Other people whom I did orientation with are getting those kind of messages, and I'm not. And so the fact that this guy doesn't seem to like me and that they're not really putting me on the hard unit or calling me in for off hours, in practice, it all works out great. Like, I get to stick on one unit. It's not the intense one. And I get to work my regular hours, right? Mm-hmm. That's all wonderful stuff. But it communicates to me that maybe they don't trust me, and also he doesn't like me.
I mean, like, what are you going to do about it, though?
I mean, I can work on my relationship with him.
Do you really need to?
I mean, I'd like to if it's someone I work with. And I like him, you know? It's not like I don't like him. He's a really nice guy. Really cool. And if he's in charge of, like, scheduling stuff and, like, he's going to be a pretty consistent part of my life for however long I'm working here, having a good relationship with him is probably pretty good.
I mean, I guess. But yeah. It seems like right now not having a good relationship with him is really benefiting you.
It's true. It's true. And I don't know if these things are even necessarily correlated. I don't know if one relates to the other. Maybe he dislikes me, and that's completely separate from him not trusting me as an employee, you know? Or maybe I'm reading way too into it. Maybe he likes me, and he's just doing the nice stuff. And he's like, oh, yeah, let's leave him alone, you know, and let him do his thing. Which would be great. But I fear that's probably not the case, you know? And then there's probably the more realistic scenario where he's not even thinking about it. Maybe my name is, it just goes in alphabetical order. So, of course, Alexis gets contacted before JC, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe it's that.
I'm going to be so honest, that's probably the most likely.
Yeah.
By a lot.
Yeah, and if it weren't people from my orientation getting contact, like if it were like, you know, the employees that have been there for a while, like, it's easy to brush it off as like, oh, well, they trust them more, of course, because they've been there longer. They know what they're doing, you know? But it's other people that started when I did that are, like, you know, having these things thrust upon them, and I'm not. And maybe, like, it's, again, it's just completely under their radar, you know? And so they're not even thinking about it, and I should not bring it to anyone's attention because then maybe they'll start, you know? But
yeah, to be honest with you, with everything else you've told me about how this place is run,
uh-huh.
I'm pretty confident this is just something that they're not noticing. Like, they're just not thinking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'll probably try to keep it that way. I also realize, like, we have a house supervisor every day who's, like, the person in charge of all three units, technically, you know? Like, they make all the big boy decisions that need to be made, and they're the only one with access to the safe with all the patients', like, phones and wallets and stuff. But the house supervisor is supposed to have like information for every single person, every single employee they have the phone number of in case they need to reach them. Multiple times now, the house supervisor has been like, yeah, I just don't have your phone number. And like one of them's bothered to get it and like put it into her phone. But I don't know why, but my info just isn't available to them. So I they can't even reach me for emergencies, I don't think. Which is probably not again, good.
This still sounds like it's working to your benefits, though.
I guess so. I guess so. At least so far it has. Like, what I don't know can't hurt me. But I just that's kind of where I'm at mentally right now is trying to gauge where everything is like what's reality and what's in my head. But also, like, again, ideal scenario is I get along with this guy. We like develop a bit more of a rapport and then everything stays the same otherwise, you know, which. Maybe that's possible.
I don't know. I think you keep riding it for a while. Let it exist. As long as your checks are still cashing, you're still getting paid, I wouldn't worry about it.
How are they better? What's so messed up is that I felt more confident I was going to get paid the right amount and get paid routinely on time when I worked for the small business with just, like, the one lady in charge of it, you know? Where, like, who knows if, like, there was even enough money to actually pay me coming in that month. But I was still getting paid, and I knew I would be. This place, I feel every Friday I actually go out of my way to check I got paid, you know? So, it's not like they haven't paid me, but I have heard from my coworkers that they've been paid the incorrect amount. So I've been, like, auditing all my paychecks. But everything seems okay for me. Again, I'm going to keep it that way. Everything seems to be working out right now. I just got to keep my fucking mouth shut.
Yeah, no, I quit stressing so much about it. Just enjoy it while it lasts. Also, have you considered, like, how much do you know about your coworkers, like, background prior to this job? They may have, like, a ton of work history that this guy knows about, given that he, like, obviously did some of the interviews.
Like, for why they would contact other people first?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe. The one girl in particular that I'm thinking of who's gotten contacted, she's, like, still an undergrad, and, like, she used to work at, like, an autism center before this. So, I don't think that would be it, but, again, whatever. If they don't trust me on C, cool. I don't trust me. If I'm not the ideal employee for C, then cool. Because I think I kind of agree with them. I do a lot better when I can talk to people and build, like, actual relationships, which C is just not that. You know, C is a lot more, like, redirecting people and making sure no one gets hurt. Which, you know, that's a cool and good job, you know, it's an important job, but I'm going to do a lot better at the other one where I talk to people.
Yeah. And maybe they've even noticed that. And so keep putting you over there because you're good at that.
Yeah. My favorite thing now is when, I get asked how to spell my name and I realize why. It's because one of the patients who's discharging, they have, like, a little, like, exit survey for them. And they have, like, a little thing to, like, shout out employees. And so, like, four times this week, people have asked me to spell my name for it, which is so nice, so kind. So, that's good.
But maybe they're all going to say what a terrible person you are.
Fuck. Yeah, I guess so. I didn't consider this possibility.
That JC guy kept groping me.
Oh, my God. No, it happens the other way around. It's the employees that get groped by the patients.
Have you been groped?
No, but I'm in the minority. Yeah, it's probably it. Out of all the people I started with, I think half of us have been, like, sexually assaulted so far by a patient. So, again, I'm in the not assaulted category so far, but that also probably is correlated to me not working on C very often, you know?
I don't know, JC. I think they just don't think that you're hot enough.
That is also, you know what? I forgot about that aspect of it. When you combine these factors, it goes without saying, really, you know? But I think you are correct. The one factor is maybe a little more the reason, and that is my hideousness.
It's the only logical conclusion. You're not hot enough for C. You're not hot enough to get groped.
I know. I'm more likely to get groped than Noah Khan, though. We can both agree on that, right?
He's pretty famous, you see. I don't know.
Fuck. Yeah, concerts, they probably are groping him.
Yeah. Like,
whatever. I'll find my wins elsewhere, okay?
I'm sorry, JC. It's just the truth.
Yeah. Whatever. Also, one of my classes I'm taking right now for my master's stuff is psychological inventories. That's the whole class. That's the semester worth of material is inventories. And so a lot of it is the school pays for us as students to take a bunch of these psych evaluations. And not even, like, psych evaluations. Like, a lot of them, like, the ones this week were, like, career assessment and personality inventory, that kind of thing. But just ones that you'll use generally in career counseling and psychological counseling, you know? And so I took two of the career assessments last week, and I just got the results back a few days ago because they take a little while for them to, I guess, compute and get everything sent to the right places. But, like, the the positives, oh, they were so good, they were so nice. I have all like screenshots of the results and like had all like the best jobs for me, like suitability wise, you know? And I can go through those if you'd like, Grade the Gray.
Please.
But my takeaway more so was that when it like focuses on my weaknesses, both of them honed in on the same thing as being like the biggest weakness in like a workplace setting. And it was trusting. The trusting score was too high, and it was saying that I'm too vulnerable to being taken advantage of by others. So
true.
So that's unfortunate. But I don't know if I really want to work on that, because what? I don't know. I feel like going through trusting people or being honest, like just going through life with that as the, you know, just what you're assuming, it I don't know. You can't go around assuming everyone's lying. And I try to, it's not like I'm just like assuming every single person's telling the truth. I'll use my judgment when it feels right. But for the most part, my default's going to be, yeah, why is someone lying to me? You know?
Hmm.
Yeah. Do you default to their lying?
No.
Okay, I didn't think so. I didn't think so.
A healthy skepticism of people.
Okay. Okay. But then also, if someone wants to lie to me, that's their prerogative. You know, it's probably going to get found out at some point. And if it doesn't, no harm, no foul. Right?
I guess in a sense, yeah.
Huh.
In a way.
But okay. Let me try to find the screen caps that had like all the other information about it. Can you guess what my number one top 10 strong job occupation was?
Number one,
it caught me off guard.
Customer support representative.
No, that is not there. Number one was photographer, which I thought was interesting. Yeah, I agree on the no. It's what I thought I wanted to be when I was in middle school. Like that was my aspiration for like a little while, but it's like there's not enough stability there. You know, like one, I'd have to learn how to like be an actually decent photographer. But then two, it's like then I have to be my own like my own business. I don't want to do that. But apparently the strong inventory thinks that's the move, you know.
I think as well, like the degree of perfectionism you have with the art that you do.
Wait.
Might lend itself to some like good pictures, but might also just lead you down a whole rabbit hole where you just never end up with a completed photo, you know?
Oh, I fucking know. Like, because a lot of journalism is photography, and I would always come back with just so much more raw footage and photos than any of my classmates. And the result of that is I then spend more hours going through them all, you know? And yeah. It's like the differences in these photos are negligible. I did not need 60. I could have gotten away with one. But you got to be safe. What if 59 of them did suck? And sometimes 59 did suck and then just one worked. And in those instances, I was very grateful. But usually it was to my detriment.
So yeah.
I feel like you're onto something there.
And there's so many steps in photography, and you can be as granular with it as you want, like from anything from are you doing digital versus film? Well, what film are you using? How are you developing it? How long, like how do you do your exposure? Like it, I think it would be, you get stuck up in the minutiae of the details, I think.
Oh yeah. During my photography class I did have, it was only a 1-credit, 1-month course. And then COVID happened during it. So it was really weird. But during that whole class, it was like when you're learning about the different, I don't know, the three settings that impact exposure, right? Like aperture, shutter speed, and there's a third one. I think it's like how open the lens is, like how big the circle is. I forget what that's called.
Isn't that aperture?
Is it? Oh, ISO. You're right. Aperture, ISO, and shutter speed. Those are the three. Like I hated that shit. I did not like having to balance the three of them. Because it's like, I don't know, I just felt like a pain in the ass. And maybe that would come together with time. You start recognizing with your eye what's necessitated. But it was just obnoxious. So that also turned me off a bit from photography, the doing it manual. But number two on the list, Grayson, was career counselor. Then the next one I don't
see that one. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. The next one I don't like, I don't think I'd want to do, is advertising account manager. I'm not even sure to which the extent or not. No, I'm not even sure really what that job is. I don't think, but it doesn't sound for me.
Yeah, I don't think he would do well in a job that sounds made up, if that makes sense.
That's, yeah, I understand. Next up is librarian, which...
Honestly, kind of fair.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
I don't think you'd love it,
uh-huh.
But I could see you doing it for a long time without complaint.
Yeah, like, just put books back, organize books, shit, help people. Sounds fine. It's whatever. Next up was administrative assistant, which I think is close to what your guess was, at least the closest on this list. And I've been an admin assistant. That's
like perfect for you.
Yeah, I've done it. I've enjoyed it. I like it. Then it was speech pathologist, but, you know, too much trauma tied up in that one for me to personally do it.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, this patient just screamed at me for not opening my mouth wide enough, so I'm probably not the prime candidate anyways to be teaching these children.
You say crayon wrong.
Crayon?
In elementary.
Crayon. Elementary? No.
Yeah.
These
no,
are the right ways. Not the job. You're not even from Texas. Next up is technical writer. Is a technical writer someone who like makes manuals and like instruction pamphlets?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I'm gonna look that up right now.
Okay. Because this could fall into the category of like just made up job title. That just doesn't sound real.
Technical writing is the practice of conveying complex information in a clear and concise, accessible manner. We got ChatGPT for that.
I was gonna say, yeah, it's just journalism, you know? And like now, yeah, ChatGPT wasn't around when I was in journalism school, but I can't imagine any of my classmates were today would be doing any actual writing.
It is like user manuals, software documentation. So like when someone writes code, you go through the code and like pick out this section of the code does this thing.
Okay.
Or it's for research papers, training materials, white papers, government regulations, medical procedures, reports, and proposals. So it's like you read through something technical and then you take that and put it into layman's terms in a very objective way.
This makes sense. I mean, I guess it'd be fine. It doesn't sound very enticing to me, if I'm being completely honest.
And I do want to reiterate, I think ChatGPT is going to wipe that job off the map.
Oh, yeah, if it hasn't already. And then we got three left, Grayson. We have number eight, arts/entertainment manager. I don't think that one. But also, I can't say I'm entirely sure what an arts entertainment manager does. Do they mean like the entertainment industry? Like I manage famous clients? Because I don't want to do that. You know?
I imagine they were probably picking up on the same skill set from the admin assistant thing.
Maybe so. Maybe so. But again, too enterprising. An admin assistant assists, you know? An arts and entertainment manager manages. And I don't think I'm a manager. Then fair. Number nine is graphic designer, which, yeah, if someone wanted to pay me like a lot of money to just do graphic design, I'd do that. That's not usually how it goes, you know?
No, not typically.
No. And then number 10, mental health counselor.
Woo! Wow, we finally made it in.
Exactly. But yeah, those are my top 10 strong occupations, Gray the Gray.
Have you had to do the Clifton Strengths Assessment?
No, but this podcast recording is actually interrupting my lectures at the moment, the lectures I'm doing for this class that we're talking about. And like two slides ago from when I paused it, the professor talked about it.
Oh, well, that's the one I did at work.
Oh,
and I thought it was pretty interesting, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah. Like your current job did that with you?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think that's like the kind of test I just went over with you is an inventory, I think it is. But it's basically an interest inventory where like it kind of gauges what you could be doing. And what you did and it sounds like from the lecture, the ones that like a lot of corporations and jobs give to their employees are not to find out what you're interested in and want to do, but to find out what you will be best at objectively, you know? So I think that's the Clifton one, is like they're trying to match you up with what your skill set actually is in alignment with.
I feel like they got it pretty accurate. I don't remember my results off the top of my head. I would have to like go look at it.
Yeah. Yeah. They break it down. Like,
Well, yeah, because there's like 34 different options and it literally goes through and rates them in order. Because the way it works is like there's 34 strengths.
Yeah.
And then it gives you like a top five and a top 10. Basically where you scored the highest in terms of your strengths.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt pretty good about like... Oh, yeah, that one's obviously a strength of mine. That one is obviously not a pretty heavy strength of mine. Like, the one's really low on the list.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, fair enough. So, like, that made sense. And then it also went through, like, a pretty good description. But it was mostly, like, uplifting. There weren't takeaways on the negative side, if that makes sense. And I wish that was in there.
You wanted the negatives.
I mean, it's in the name Clifton Strengths. It's mainly just describing your strengths and what you're best equipped for.
That makes sense.
But I have always appreciated a personality test that's like, hey, so you're really good at this, but these are the shortfalls or opportunities that come with that.
Yeah. Like how I might be vulnerable to being taken advantage of.
Right.
This makes sense.
But it doesn't really emphasize that. It's just like, yeah, you're good at strategic thinking. It's like, yeah, I knew that. Cool. Thanks.
Well, look into the strong interest inventory. I'm sure it only costs a few hundred dollars to do. So,
oh, yeah.
You know. But it says it breaks it down into like just like five sentences to describe my style. It's my work style. It says, I likely prefer working with people. I seem to prefer to learn by doing it and through lectures and books. Wait, what? You seem to prefer to learn by doing and through lectures and books. As opposed to what? That covers all the bases. I don't know. That's weird. Then the next one says, you are probably comfortable both leading by example and taking charge. What?
No.
Yeah, not the taking charge one. I mean, if I have to like teach someone to do something, it's way easier to be like, here's me doing it. Can you do it now? You know, but I'm not going to take charge. Number four, you may dislike taking risks. That one's accurate.
True. Yeah.
And then five, you probably enjoy both team roles and independent roles. That's profound, strong inventory. Thank you very much.
JC, I got to tell you, I don't think that test told you anything.
No. No, I can't say it did. My highest themes are artistic, social, and enterprising. So whatever that means.
I think you got one of them.
The jobs I'm, or the fields I'm least likely to go into are taxes and accounting, computer hardware and electronics.
True.
And programming and information systems.
True. No, all they really got you things. With that one. Yeah.
Especially, I love that it put, my very first one that it lists as like the strongest, most incompatible is computer hardware and electronics.
Very much.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I can name a thing on earth that makes me more angry than those two words, hardware and electronics. They really have a way of drawing out my rage and just they kind of sap my will to live. Yeah. It's truly astounding. So good job to the strong inventory on that one. I think they deserve their props. They deserve their flowers. By the way, Grayson, I just want to say too that we had a little bit going here on the podcast for a few weeks where when Spotify introduced their AI generated chapters for the podcast, we would read through some of them, you know, and just see what the fuck Spotify came up with for how it structured our podcast. You remember this?
Sorry,
did you say
I kind of zoned out there for a second.
Do you remember how Spotify AI does chapters for our podcast?
Yes.
No, that's not, you said yeet. You said yeet a few seconds ago when I asked.
Yeet.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to go through all of them. I will say the AI is getting a little bit better. Like, it's not giving us 40 chapters anymore. It's closer to, like, 10 or 12, which is, mildly more appropriate.
I feel like 40 chapters is probably more accurate to the structure of these episodes.
How disjointed everything is. Yeah, I guess. But I just really love that when you open up the most recent episode, 396, titled Megalopis, chapter 2 is really, really cool. Chapter 2 is, it gets a whole sentence for the title of the chapter. It says, have you ever gotten a glimpse of what your piss tastes like? That's chapter 2 from last week, and I recommend everyone goes back and listens, okay?
Glimpse is definitely not the right word to use there.
Have you ever gotten a glimpse of what your piss tastes like?
You can't get a glimpse of a taste.
Have you ever gotten a glimmer? Is a glimmer less specific to any one sense?
I guess that, I mean, that works better for sure.
Have you ever gotten a taste of what your piss tastes like? Would have been more appropriate, I guess. Well, I hope Spotify Chapters gets it figured out this week for whatever this one's going to be called. You know, this current chapter.
So we're
going to
have another chapter titled the same thing.
No. This is just like White Settlement all over again. Name this chapter of the podcast White Settlement.
This is White Settlement time.
We're talking about White Settlement going forward.
Okay. Do you think they caught it?
I don't think they caught it. I think they were overwhelmed by it. I think we flooded their system with White Settlement. Guys,
next
White
thing
Settlement.
You know, every podcast's every chapter is going to be White Settlement.
Oh my gosh, whoa. Do you think the town of White Settlement has, like, an official podcast?
Are we not that podcast?
I was about to say, if they do not, this is really a market that I feel like we could move into. I know a couple weeks ago I suggested we could maybe start doing every episode of Boy Oh Boy live from the VA hospital. Alternatively, we could make a drive up to White Settlement.
Do you think they have a VA hospital in White Settlement?
Oh my God. Yeah, there's probably a lot of retired military in White Settlement, right?
I don't know.
They seem to place. I don't know. We'll have to do our research, and we'll get back to everyone on where you can join us for the live podcast in person every Tuesday. Just know if there is a VA hospital in White Settlement, that's where we will be next Tuesday. Go ahead and meet us there. We'll be there 6 p.m.? Correct, Grayson?
Something like that.
Okay, cool. Let's see, Gray the Gray. What else do I have on my list? Oh, on the topic of AI, did you see Mr. Beast? He put out a AI thumbnail generator to help all the YouTube content creators out there.
What?
Yeah, he made this program, or he funded this programming and development of a system that will, I guess you give it the prompt you want and you upload some images and it creates like the optimized ideal YouTube thumbnail for your video.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, well, everyone agreed. And so he took it down and replaced it with a service to network you or like get you in contact with actual artists that can make your thumbnail instead.
I wasn't taking it from the approach of...
No, I know.
Okay.
That's but the people that were all outraged and forced him to change it, that was the perspective they took, is that they were taking money away from actual artists. You know, all those thumbnail artists out there, the highest form of art.
It's really devastating that a dumb idea was countered by an even dumber idea.
Yeah, I thought it was really funny. I'm going to flub the delivery of this, but I was listening to some commentary YouTuber talk about it, and he's saying that they're just replacing one controversy with another, because now instead of, oh, Mr. Beast used AI for the thumbnails, it's going to be Mr. Beast employed a pedophile, because so many Twitter artists are, well, pedophiles, which I wish were just a joke, but I do see that probably coming to be, you know?
Yeah.
So that was the first bit of Mr. Beast controversy this past week, but, you know, he's supporting the artists now. Clearly a very principled stance he took. And he also put out a video, this one you may have heard about, I think it got a little bit more traction, where there was this really large, morbidly obese man. And the challenge was, you have, I don't know, is it like 6 months or a year to lose 100 pounds? And if you do it, you make $100,000. And they like got this guy his own like compound with like a bunch of workout machines and healthy food, a personal trainer, and but he was like completely isolated from the outside world. He just had to lose 100 pounds, then he could get out and get his 100K. How's that sound as a concept to you?
I think I heard about this. Wasn't it 250 pounds though?
I don't think so. Maybe it was. I hope it, regardless, it was some amount of weight. But compared to so many other Mr. Beast videos, I feel like this one is generally pretty innocuous. Like, not much harm to come out of this one.
Except for the one guy that died.
Well, yeah, so the big fat dude, his personal trainer, midway through the challenge, died. And this was the big fat dude's only personal contact. Again, he was isolated from the outside world. So aside from Mr. Beast showing up every month, it was just his personal trainer, you know? And the personal trainer was found dead in his home during this challenge, which is so sad.
Any indication on how he died?
I have no idea. He seemed like a young, relatively healthy guy, so I don't know. Maybe like a heart issue? I'm speculating probably isn't the best thing in the world. I have no idea.
I'm also going to throw that out there. If he died from a health issue, maybe he shouldn't be training people, you know?
Maybe not. Maybe not. But aesthetically, looked great, you know? And, but they ended up leaving it in the video when they revealed to the big fatso that his personal trainer had died, you know? And it was a very touching thing, and it served as, like, more motivation for, he had, like, a whole mental breakdown, but it served as motivation for him to, like, see the challenge through, lose all the weight, get the money. And then Mr. Beast had a conversation with him and was like, hey, sorry I wasn't here when he died, but I'm here now, and just so you know, like, we can, like, stop the challenge if you want to, like, at no, like, you're good, like, you don't have to do this anymore. And he turned it down. He said he wanted to keep going with the challenge, and then before they released the episode, they reached out to the deceased person's family to be like, hey, just want to make sure this is okay with you guys, and, like, everything seems appropriate before we put it out. And his family was like, yeah, he would want it to go out, like, he would want this to be part of his legacy. And then Mr. Beast put it out, and all I saw on Twitter for like a day was everyone pissed because he's exploiting the death of somebody. Which I feel like given all the circumstances is a crazy takeaway.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I haven't seen the video, so maybe there is some like messed up stuff in there. But if the family okayed it, then...
Yeah, the family and the guy in the challenge. And then also, like, the thing that people seem to be most upset about, from what I could gather, was that they, like, layered some sad emotional music in the background when, like, the news was being broken to him, you know?
Did they want upbeat music?
That's kind of, like, I guess is the ideal no
dead
music.
Silence?
Because, like, at that point, like, sure. Like, I learned that in journalism school. You know, you don't need to influence the people's emotions. You know, you show them the objective, what happened, and let them make their own decisions, right? Feel their own feelings. Mr. Beast is not journalism. Mr. Beast is content for kids. I don't know. I don't have the moral qualm that like sad music over something actually sad is bad, you know? And also, I feel like it'd be crazy, because if Mr. Beast decided to not put out the video, he would then be going against the wishes of the guy's family. Which, I don't know, it just seems like a crazy little week for Mr. Beast.
I'm by no means a fan of Mr. Beast.
Yeah, nor am I.
In fact, I would say the vast majority of his content I dislike.
That's fair.
But
most of it's, like, really just... shitty, you know? Slop. Yeah. Shit slop for little kids. And that's okay. He knows his lane, and it's making him a lot of money.
And good for him for that.
Yeah.
But it is genuinely baffling and sad to me that people get so bent out of shape about him.
Because there are real things to hate on him for. Like, there was a lot of mistreatment of the people that were on his, like, Amazon reality show.
Bizarre marketing to children.
Bizarre marketing to children. He was best friends with, like, this weird groomer who had, like, art of underage anime girls on their wall in the apartment they shared together. Employing some unsavory folks who were actual registered sex offenders.
Having an annoying voice.
Yeah, having an annoying face.
All being, valid criticisms.
Yeah. Just generally, like, off-putting, I'd say. But, no, I don't think anything he did this week was particularly bad. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I guess the bad part about the AI thumbnail thing before he replaced it with the, hey, here's how you can meet artists that'll do your thumbnails for you. The bad part there is that, like, what it drew from, like, the intelligence, it, like, all the thumbnails and thumbnail artists who contributed to its intelligence probably didn't consent to it. That's valid, you know? That sucks. Yeah. But, again, it's fucking thumbnails on YouTube. Like, if this is where you make your money, maybe we need to, you know, expand, diversify. Yeah. I feel like that might be the move. Yeah, shout out Jimmy Beast.
You know, you should bring the AI bot back.
I mean, it still exists. Like, it was made. It's been developed, but I guess now it's just for him. So, huh? Which now I doubt he's even going to use it. I bet he, because he for sure employs people. Like, he has a whole church that was converted into his thumbnail studio. You know, like, he for sure has real people making his thumbnails.
No doubt.
Yeah. Maybe this was a way to, like, fuck with the competition and make intentionally shitty thumbnails that the algorithm won't attach to, so that way Mr. Beast could go even further and do better.
Go even further beyond?
I think so. He's already number one on the platform, I believe, but he's not number one on the other platforms yet.
I don't know if he is number one.
Really? Who do you think is? I thought T-Series got passed.
It's probably some
passed.
Corporate account.
Let me just, you know what, you have the cool keyboard. Can you type in who is the most subscribed YouTuber at the moment?
Here, let me.
Thank you.
Let me get a fresh tab going. Here, I'll move mic a little bit as well so that it's like right above it. So you okay. Get the.
Phew.
Oh, wait, no, I hit the wrong key.
Okay, that's embarrassing. I wouldn't have admitted that. You got this?
List of most subscribed YouTube channels.
Do not use AI overview. Page. Thank God.
The number one... Oh, it is Mr. Beast.
Let's go! Is number two T-Series?
Yeah.
Is number three... Oh, I couldn't even venture a guess. I would guess another kid's channel.
Cocomelon.
Hey, look at that. I'm a genius. Okay?
And then would you believe it? It's another Indian channel. Set India.
Is it like T-Series? Or is it like a different genre of Indian content? Not that I'm particularly aware of what T-Series makes, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I don't really know what T-Series is to compare them.
Huh.
And then after that is some page called Vlad and Nikki.
Oh, those are like little kids that review toys, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, or at least they used to be. I feel like I heard about that channel forever ago. I feel like they got to be older now. Like Ryan. And his toy review. Do you know how we could get to number one, Grayson?
How's that?
Well, just you're reading the most subscribed channels. I feel like why not the best of both worlds? We just make Indian Mr. Beast. Thoughts?
I imagine someone's probably tried that.
Look it up.
PewDiePie's all the way down at 11th now. That's crazy.
That's not Indian. He's neither Indian nor Mr. Beast. So, of course, he's not in the top 10. But also, what's PewDiePie done? Like, I can't think of a single PewDiePie video that's been like recommended to me in years.
I mean, the most recent thing I watched for him, he was talking about putting together his Linux computer. He's really into Linux now.
Okay, yeah, like that's not gonna win you number 10 on YouTube, unfortunately, you know?
He's just living his best life at this point.
And that's good, and he's probably super content with
you know
11.
Who's right behind PewDiePie?
I don't.
The WWE.
Wow, shout out WWE. What's so insane to me is that like a large part of their revenue and like income, not income, revenue must come from like social media channels like YouTube maybe being like the biggest, right? And like that's money going to an entire corporation, like a publicly traded company with like thousands and thousands of employees. PewDiePie just gets it. Like, he's not like a Mr. Beast that's a corporation, I don't think. He's just PewDiePie. Like, that money is just his.
Yeah, but it's been a while since PewDiePie really did, like, product tie-ins and stuff. So he's still probably easily worth tens of millions of dollars. I just Googled it, and I'm waiting for the AO review says between 45 and 60 million.
Jesus. I feel like that's, like, almost being a little, like, modest. I could picture him being worth, like, way more. Because we're not in, like, the adpocalypse situation anymore. I feel like he's fully monetized now. And if he's just making, like, fucking YouTube videos on, like, building a computer, that's not going to get demonetized at all. I feel like there's probably a ton of advertisers for that kind of content.
Maybe.
Yeah.
He doesn't upload as much anymore.
That'll be more what fucks
him. I mean, he probably spends a fair amount of money to maintain his lifestyle.
Yeah. This makes sense. This makes sense. Do you think his wife does anything?
I mean, she used to do YouTube.
She had, like, a beauty channel, right?
And, like, a vlog channel.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay. Like, well, hopefully she's kept up with those. Hope they're doing wonderfully.
No. It was a whole thing. She was like, I'm done with YouTube. I'm gone.
Oh, my God. I thought you were going to say, like, she was done with PewDiePie. But no.
No. They're still together. She just is, like, focused on being a wife and mother and, like, pursuing other interests of her.
Hell yeah. Let's go. When are you going to do that? When are you going to settle into to motherhood, I guess I should say?
Hopefully soon.
Yeah. According to Steven's save of the role-playing wrestling game we play, you're only a few months out from having your baby.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, so that'll be a good start to motherhood. If all goes well. You know, I don't know if the game really input unfortunate outcomes. It'd be really kind of fucked if they did. But also, if it's supposed to simulate real life, you know. Huh. I'll let you know
also,
what happens.
Also, I feel like the world of wrestling likely has a disproportionate number of miscarriages.
Women wrestlers are more likely to miscarry?
No, I just mean, like, they would probably use it for story reasons.
Oh, like... like, made-up miscarriages, you're saying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, there may be some medical correlation, but, like, I would have no reason to think that.
I'm trying to think about it. It's, like, nothing strikes me as, like, oh, yes, I do remember the miscarriage storyline. The one thing is they had a storyline where, like, this really old legend lady, her name was Mae Young, but she was, like, in her 70s or 80s at the time. Like, she was well past her career as a wrestler, but they used her as, like, an on-screen character, kind of like a comedy character because she was so old, and Vince thought the old lady was funny, you know? And they did a storyline with her back in, like, 2000 where she got pregnant. Gray the Gray, are you there? Oh, God damn it. Guys, Discord just, like, shut down, so I think I'm the only one with you. And I was really trying to let you know all about Mae Young. Grayson, are you here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Discord shut down on me, and now I'm back.
Cool.
How much of the Mae Young story did you hear?
What?
I was telling you all about... I was trying to think of a miscarriage story in wrestling, and then something adjacent to a miscarriage story popped into my head, and I was telling you all about it.
I didn't catch any of that, actually.
Okay, so I was saying there's this old lady. Her name's Mae Young. She used to be a wrestler in, like, the 70s, right? And then by the time, like, the early 2000s rolled around, she was, like, this old fucking lady, okay? Like, 70s, 80s. And she was no longer used for wrestling. She was used as an on-screen character because Vince just found her funny because she's an old lady who looks old, you know? And so in 2000, the story was that she, at, like, the tender age of fucking, like, 79, got pregnant. Okay? And the father was Sexual Chocolate Mark Henry, the world's strongest man. Okay? Follow?
Okay.
And then months go by, and we finally get to the birth of Mae Young's baby. It was a segment. And Mae Young actually did not birth a baby. She birthed just a fully grown human hand. That's what they took out of her.
What?
During her, yeah, that was kind of the general reaction, and part of why it's still brought up today is, What was that? Why was that the payoff of the old lady being pregnant for a year on television? Is that she had a hand come out of her, well, not to be crass, her pussy, Grayson. But not to be crass.
What?
Yeah, so does that, like, did you at least get where I'm coming from when you say, are there miscarriage storylines? And I say, no, but there's this.
I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
A little baffled.
Yeah, it's... Oh, also, there's these two wrestlers, Nikki and Brie Bella, the Bella twins. They're awesome. Nikki Bella almost married John Cena, and Brie Bella did marry Daniel Bryan, okay? Mm-hmm. But they're also, they're good in their own right. They were never really good wrestlers, but they had a reality show, or a few of them, actually, and then Nikki was on Dancing with the Stars. But they had one story where they hated each other. The Bella twins turned on one another. Brie versus Nikki, oh my gosh. And I believe it was Nikki who slapped Brie, grabbed the microphone and screamed into it, I wish you died in the womb! She said that to her twin sister. But no actual death in the womb occurred, to be clear. It was just Nikki's wish for her sister. But again,
I see.
Adjacent to miscarriages.
Well, thanks for recounting all that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're welcome. If I think of any more in the coming week, I'll be sure to update everyone on episode 399. We're so close. No, 398. It'll be 398 next week. Either way, we're still so close. Do we even have a Jordan update this week? I presume not.
No. I think she's avoiding us as we approach 400.
So this is final four episodes of Boy Oh Boy? Yeah. We have three more after this, Grayson. Potentially. Wow. Jordan could save the day, but I guess before we ride off into the sunset today, do you have any reflections or words you'd like to leave everyone with, presuming that this could be one of our very final days?
Nope.
Okay. Yeah. And that's kind of what everyone's going to be left with in 3-4 weeks' time. A whole lot of nothing. So until 398... with hopefully more miscarriage info. Goodbye, everybody.
Adios.